Welcome to Radar Contact, the audio show that teaches pilots how to speak professionally and with confidence to air traffic control. If you have avoided contact with air traffic control because you just didn't know what to say or didn't know how to say it, Radar Contact is going to change the way you fly and communicate. And now, here's your host, airline pilot, author, and host of ATCCommunication.com, Jeff Canarish.
Hello, and welcome to Radar Contact. It's been a while since you last heard from me. I've been hunkered down working to finish a book, and you're going to hear about that later in the show. Right now, I have this trivia question for you. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to be drinking some coffee here, so overlook me. My wife says I tend to slurp when I drink coffee, but I have no idea what she's talking about. Okay, here's that trivia question. How many sections in the Code of Federal Regulations, Part 91, are there that pertain to radio communication with air traffic control? Now, just to make sure you and I are all thinking about the same thing, a section in Part 91 is a collection of rules that is listed as a number after a decimal point. For example, in 91.87, the number 91 is a part of the federal regulations, and 0.87 is a section of that part, all pertaining to the same subject. So again, the question is, how many sections of federal regulation are there in Part 91 that address radio communication? Are there 5 sections, 23 sections, 1 section, or 7 sections? I'll give you a minute to think about that and have the answer for you after I talk for a moment about the Aeronautical Information Manual. I've been on the speaking circuit for the last couple of months talking to aviation groups about radio communication, and the question I most often get at these engagements is, where is the definitive guide on how to talk on the aircraft radio? And the answer I always give is, most of the guidance on how to talk on the radio comes from the Aeronautical Information Manual, or as you and I call it, the AIM. Now here's the deal on the AIM. It's not law. It's simply a collection of techniques and examples you may use when you fly. You don't have to take my word on this. The AIM says so right in its introductory section. Paragraph D of the AIM says, this publication, while not regulatory, provides information which reflects examples of operating techniques and procedures which may be requirements in other federal publications or regulations. And that takes me back to my original question. If the AIM says it's only guidance and the actual rules are contained in other publications, how many sections worth of rules are in Part 91, the part that dictates by law how we must operate our airplanes? How many sections of that pertains to radio work? The answer is, wait for it, 1. The only section in Part 91 that has specifically says how to conduct ourselves on the aircraft radio is Section 91.123. You can look at that yourself, but I'll quickly summarize what it says. 91.123, which is titled Compliance with ATC Clearances Instructions, says, and I'm just paraphrasing here, except in an emergency or to avoid a collision, you must comply with an ATC clearance. If you're not certain about that clearance, get clarification from ATC. And if you must deviate due to an emergency or to avoid a collision, please tell me how avoiding a collision is not an emergency. But anyways, if you have to deviate, notify ATC as soon as possible that you are deviating. If you are given priority by ATC in an emergency, though not deviating from any part of the regulations, you must still submit a written report to the ATC supervisor of the facility you are working with if that supervisor asks for it, and you must submit that report within 48 hours. And finally, when under radar control by ATC and clearance is given to another pilot in another airplane, you must not use that clearance as though it were given to you. In other words, don't steal another pilot's clearance. That's it. That's all the FAA has to say about how to conduct yourself on the radio. One measly section that really doesn't say anything about what to say or how to say it. The real guidance comes from the AIM, which, as I already said, is a collection of best practices. It is not regulatory. Is it any wonder that when you listen to other pilots transmit on the aircraft radio, you're going to hear all sorts of versions of the same radio call? It's like the Wild West out there. There's no enforcement of any standard for speaking on the radio because there's nothing to enforce. Well, this wouldn't be such a big deal if precise communication were not critical to flight safety. In fact, there are thousands of instances of misunderstanding between pilots and air traffic controllers that led to violations of airspace, near mid-air collisions, runway incursions, and even airplane crashes. One of the worst examples of miscommunication between pilots and ATC that resulted in fatalities is the radio communication between two crews of Boeing 747 aircraft and the tower controller at Tenerife in the Canary Islands. You remember that? That was way back in 1970. There were many reasons why a Pan Am 747 and a KLM 747 collided on the runway in Tenerife, killing 583 passengers and crew. The final nail in the coffin that led to the collision was non-standard radio communication between the crews and the airport tower. And you may listen to a complete analysis of that accident, including a reproduction of all the radio calls at atccommunication.com. The story is listed under audio lesson number 6, being dead wrong on the aircraft radio. I've included a link to that story in the show notes for this broadcast. Coming up right in our show, a discussion of closed traffic patterns at Class D airports. And for instrument-rated pilots, a look at communication procedures when flying standard terminal arrival routes. But first, let's talk about a new book I've just written that may be the exact thing you've been looking for. Just out at Amazon.com and at BarnesandNoble.com, my new book, Radio Mastery for VFR Pilots. This book is a consolidation of everything I have ever written about or talked about at atccommunication.com, plus a whole lot of other information on radio work I haven't got around to at the website. Radio Mastery for VFR Pilots steps you through everything from the basics of voice communication on the radio to exactly what you need to say to effectively communicate with air traffic control. The book steps through all possible flying scenarios from flight at uncontrolled airports through operation in Class B, C, D, and E airspace. Plus, you will learn what to say and do in emergencies and in unusual situations such as lost comm and simply getting lost altogether. You learn precisely what to say and when to say it at small airports with quiet traffic patterns right up to flying into the really busy places like New York's LaGuardia and Los Angeles International. Now here's the deal. Nobody needs another boring textbook in their lives. I mean, if I want to take a nap, I'll eat a big turkey dinner and tune in C-SPAN on the TV. That will put me lights out in seconds. Reading a boring book is not on my list of favorite things, and I can't imagine it's on yours either. With that in mind, I wrote Radio Mastery for VFR Pilots with some humor and sarcasm thrown in to keep it interesting. That doesn't mean this book isn't something you can't take seriously. It covers all of the good stuff in the AIM, the Air Traffic Controller's Manual, and even the ICAO Air Traffic Services Manual. It just does it in a way that I intended to be engaging and easily readable. It should make you laugh at least a few times. Also, I threw in a ton of examples and illustrations to make the material clear. In this book, I'll be riding shotgun with you as you fly a Cessna 172 through some challenging scenarios. And to make everything even clearer, at the end of each chapter, I have hands-on exercises that you can practice both in your airplane and while sitting in a comfortable chair at home. Basically, when I wrote the book, I imagined what it would be like to sit across from you and discuss radio comm. It wasn't difficult to write because I built the book based upon the hundreds of questions I have received over the years from pilots who wrote to me in response to reading articles at atccommunication.com. This book is basically me talking to you, answering what's on your mind. Check it out at Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com where you can read extended excerpts from the book. There are also links to both versions of the book in the left column of every page at atccommunication.com. You can download the book as a Kindle reader book or as a Nook book. And if you don't have either type of reading device, you can still install it on either the free Kindle app or the free Nook app on your personal computer, tablet, or smartphone and read the book from there. Both free apps are available for Windows-based and for Apple's OS X operating system. Again, the book is Radio Mastery for VFR Pilots. And as you might have guessed, I'm working on a follow-up book designed for pilots who fly IFR. I'll have more on that book in future shows. Speaking of shows, let's get back to it. What exactly does an airport tower controller expect you to do when he issues the clearance, make closed traffic? When Tower says make closed traffic, he is authorizing you to fly continuous circuits around an airport traffic pattern until you request to do something different or until he gives you a different clearance. When you hear make closed traffic, you're expected to fly straight out after takeoff and, after reaching a safe altitude, begin a turn to cross when to start a circuit around the traffic pattern. Now, the first question a pilot might ask is, which way should I turn after takeoff? And the answer is, unless there is a published traffic pattern direction for the runway in use, you can turn either to the left or to the right. If Tower needs you to turn a specific direction, the clearance would be make left closed traffic or make right closed traffic. If he simply says make closed traffic and there's no published direction for the runway, turn either way at your discretion. You may also change back and forth between right-hand patterns and left-hand patterns after each touch and go or low approach. The choice is entirely yours. Each time you make your touch and go or low approach or stop and go, you're free to make your next circuit without further clearance from Tower. Now, Tower can modify your clearance at any time. For example, even though he said make closed traffic for your first circuit, after say a touch and go at the end of your first circuit, Tower may come back and say make right closed traffic. Now, at that point, you're obligated to fly right-hand patterns only. You may still keep beating up the traffic pattern, but all your turns must be to the right. If your clearance is make closed traffic, but after a touch and go or low approach, Tower amends your clearance and says continue straight ahead, I'll call your turn to crosswind, or he says continue on the upwind, I'll call your turn, which is basically both of those statements mean the same thing, you should not turn to crosswind at your discretion. Wait for Tower's clearance to turn. So then you do your full pattern, and the next time you make a touch and go, if Tower doesn't say anything, you may again initiate a turn to crosswind at your own discretion, regardless of what happened earlier. Of course, at any time you stop making closed traffic and exit the airport pattern, you must coordinate with Tower before doing so. You might say, for example, Tower, after this touch and go, Cessna 9130 Delta would like to depart to the northwest. Tower will acknowledge this request, and after your touch and go, will say, for example, Cessna 9130 Delta, left turnout to the northwest approved, and you're out of there. If you have any questions about what we just discussed, you can always write to me at jeff@atccommunication.com, and we'll talk it over. In a moment, we'll have our question of the week. Right now, let's talk standard terminal arrival procedures when flying IFR. If you're a VFR-only kind of pilot, feel free to skip ahead a few minutes to pick it up at our question of the week. Standard terminal arrival procedures, or STARs as they're called, are instrument procedures that help ATC feed IFR aircraft into a busy airport. A STAR has a specific route to follow and specific altitudes to maintain that guide a pilot from his cruising altitude down to the altitude and location where an airport's approach controller can receive aircraft. That point, where an airplane transitions from en route control to approach control, is called an arrival gate. You may think of it as a door you fly through that acts as an entrance to an airport's radar traffic pattern. Because a pilot follows a predetermined route and predetermined altitudes on a STAR, ATC does not have much to do in the way of controlling that aircraft to get it from cruising altitude down to the arrival gate for an airport. That's why it's highly favored going into busy airports. The less control involved, generally the more airplanes that can be funneled through with little talking. Of course, ATC may have to intervene with clearances to aircraft in the tunnel to change airspeed, as perhaps one pilot is slower to decelerate his airplane and begins to get too close to the airplane in front. Also, weather conditions at the arrival airport may dictate how much spacing there needs to be between arriving aircraft, and ATC will slow down airplanes to spread out the spacing. ATC may also intervene not only with airspeed changes for an aircraft on a star, but also with headings to fly that takes the pilot off the star routing altogether. ATC and will, in some cases, direct an airplane through heading changes that resemble the S-turns pilots make in a VFR traffic pattern, simply to build spacing behind the aircraft in front. Now, here's a big gotcha, and this is really the whole reason I decided to talk about stars in this show. A clearance from ATC to fly a star is not authorization to descend while flying the star's route. For example, a controller may tell a pilot, "You're cleared to the DeKalb Peachtree Airport via direct Rocket and the Bunny 2 arrival." Now, in this case, Rocket is a VORTAC near Huntsville, Alabama, and the Bunny 2 is a star used to feed aircraft from over Huntsville all the way to the DeKalb Peachtree Airport in Atlanta. If you look at the Bunny 2 star, it says, "Expect to cross the Bunny intersection at 8,000. When ATC clears you to fly the Bunny 2 from over the Rocket VORTAC, this is authorization to fly the routing only. You are not authorized to descend to meet the crossing restriction of 8,000 at the Bunny intersection. In order to descend, you must hear ATC say either, "Cross Bunny at 8,000, or ATC must say, "Descend via the Bunny 2. Obviously, a clearance from ATC to cross Bunny at 8,000 is extremely clear. There is no doubt what you're supposed to do. The other clearance you may receive, "descend via," needs just a little bit of explanation. There are some stars that have points on them with altitude restrictions you must meet before descending to the final altitude on the star. For example, let's say a star takes you from your cruising altitude down to the final altitude on the star of 3,000 feet. Along the way, this star has a couple of intersections with intermediate altitudes. Let's say there's one intersection about a third of the way along the star that has a crossing altitude of 12,000 feet. Further along, say two-thirds of the way along the route, there's another intersection with a crossing altitude of 7,000 feet. So we have 12,000, 7,000, and the final altitude 3,000. When told to descend via, you are expected to plan your descent so you cross each intersection on the star at the published altitude. Of course, anytime, ATC may amend your clearance by giving you a different altitude to fly. If that's the case, you are still expected to fly the published route, but you should ignore the altitudes on the star and fly to the altitude given to you by ATC in your clearance. The same holds true for any published airspeed on the star. If an intersection indicates you must be at 210 knots by the time you reach that intersection, you should adjust your speed to meet that restriction. And, of course, ATC may modify your airspeed as well. The two key takeaways from this discussion are this. First, a clearance to fly a star is not clearance to descend. You must receive a separate clearance from ATC that says either descend via or descend and maintain a specific altitude. And secondly, ATC may not only modify your descent and airspeed profile when on the star, ATC may vector your aircraft completely off the star at any time, but still expect you to make any crossing restrictions on the star when told to resume flying the star. So plan your energy level of your aircraft accordingly. And now, getting back to something that applies to all pilots, here's our question of the week. You are flying a VFR cross country. There are numerous puffy clouds at your cruising altitude of 5,500, but they are widely spaced. Maintaining VFR cloud clearances between these puffies only takes an occasional small heading change. You are currently under radar contact with Minneapolis Center for VFR flight following. The air traffic controller says to you,
"Cessna 9130 Delta, traffic 12 o'clock, 10 miles, opposite direction. Mode C indicates VFR climbing through 4,000, unverified."
You look straight ahead and slightly low and see nothing. You reply, "Cessna 9130 Delta, searching." After a minute, the controller says,
"Cessna 9130 Delta, previous traffic now 12 o'clock and 5 miles, opposite direction, climbing through 5,000, unverified."
You still don't see anything, so you say, "Cessna 9130 Delta, negative contact." to which the controller says,
Cessna 9130 Delta for traffic avoidance, suggest you turn right heading 040.
So you look right, and you see a large puffy cloud at your 2 o'clock position in a half mile. You figure the heading ATC just gave you will put your aircraft within 1,000 feet of that cloud, laterally. But you also consider you have traffic heading directly towards you at possibly your altitude. What do you do in response to ATC's traffic avoidance heading? When you think you know the answers to those questions, go to the link atccommunication.com/answers. There you will find the correct answers to both questions, along with an explanation about why those answers apply. Well, I hope you enjoyed today's show. If it raised a question or two in your mind, give me a shout at jeff@atccommunication.com. I love hearing from you, and I always appreciate your questions because they inspire new stories for the show. And if you'd like to learn more about talking to air traffic control, check out our website at atccommunication.com. Music for the show is provided by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com on a Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license. Well, hey, if you're flying this week, I hope you have a great time and beautiful weather. Don't forget to check out my new book, Radio Mastery for VFR Pilots, at amazon.com or at barnesandnoble.com. There are links to the book in the left column of any page at atccommunication.com. Well, I'm Jeff Canarish for atccommunication.com and the new book, Radio Mastery for VFR Pilots, saying, be well and fly safe.